take a fraction of an inch out of it so that the lines match up. It was really kind of crazy. And the other thing, it looks like the cost of vellum has gone up substantially. I guess like everything, paper, I think, has gone up. K2KND.
KD2KNH. Yeah, now the industry's, that change is not as much pull for it. It's just, they don't have the kind of volume that we're producing, so it would go up anyway. Everything changes with time.
So, yeah, I've seen that because in the year that I'm in the screen printing aspect of it, there was a lot of hand cutting. I don't think they do that anymore, but I forget what the material was called, but they'd actually hand cut small letters. That was the only choice in some instances. And now, not only do you go to vellum to get your screens, but you can go directly to the screen. And you can go directly to vomit. All of that. I was thinking of doing direct to vomit. I don't know. I think the company has something like that. But then I was told if you don't do it on a regular basis, your ink flow should dry up and kill the machine. So I opted not to do that.
Yes, unfortunately, inkjets are like that. Even our large format ones, printheads go bad once in a while when people don't use them. Large format architectural printers for like 3 foot rolls and things of that nature.
Yeah, those large format printers are really fascinating. And what about the inks? They do like a truck, when they do the print on a truck. What kind of ink are they using that can withstand the rain and the snow and everything else?
That's totally out of our segment, so I wouldn't have a clue what they use. I'm assuming it's all oil-based.
Oh, that was interesting. I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah, it's interesting that they do that. Rather than a guy standing there like Michelangelo and painting chocolate, something like that.
KD2KNH. Well, think in our lifetime how many things have changed. How many formats, how many industries have been put out or entirely changed. Printing and with the old typewriters, and then came word processors and computers. So the formats of digital. It's amazing how quickly things change.
Yeah, it's like the last 40 years have been warp speed compared to the thousands of years before that. Although it looks like they reached a point, in computers, there was a point where he hesitated to buy a computer because something new was going to come out tomorrow, whether it was the speed of the system. I see my roofing guy is here now. Let me say 7-3 and go down and talk to this guy. I'm not roofing guy. I'll catch you later, Charlie. KD2KNH.
No problem. You have a good day. KD2KNH clear. 73.
Take care, Ricky. Hi, Charlie. AA2GC. I'll probably just be in for a minute or two.
Very good. How's everything going?
Okay, running my errands before I can relax for the day, being off today. How have you been? I just heard the tail end of your discussion about printers. I know that's what you... I like photography, so I have an Epson 17-inch pigmented-based printer, but you don't do that stuff.
Well, we have sold inkjet Epsons, the larger ones, but ones with the large ink tanks. I think we had a shortage for a while and put some of them out in the field, but not our specialty, not home-type stuff.
Yeah, they really changed photography, as did digital and everything else. What a beautiful day, so at least you're out and about and the weather's nice.
This is the kind of day where I could really use a Greenport or Shelter Island or Montauk, but it usually happens in bad weather.
Potluck, as they say, right? All right, I am almost at my next stop, so if you're in and out, I'll talk to you later, Charlie. AA2GC.
All right, Ted, you have a good day. KD2KN is clear, sir.
W2VL repeater. FlyMarkInfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
I just did some food shopping at Trader Joe's, more stuff at Stop and Shop, then I may play with the radio today. Charlie, you there? AA2GC.
Sorry, Dad. I got a cell phone call in the newsroom.
Okay, I'll be on the side. Alpha, Alpha 2 Golf, Charlie.
I just finished with the call, but so of course, I had to turn you off for about 30 seconds. Sorry.
Not do it all the time, and it's understandable. In any case, what I was saying is I'm just running my errands, Stop and Shop, Trader Joe's, and then I will go home and hopefully play with the radio a little bit.
All right. How are you liking the new radio?
I have to say I was really hesitant beginning about getting it because outside of the battery not working, the Kenwood that I had, the old radio was actually working fine. But the software-defined radio display had a whole other dimension to it. It does make it a lot more fun.
Yeah, every time I hear somebody saying, you know, that you don't need it, it's... I agree with you. You know, there are the purists that want to spin a dial, but I like knowing where the activity is, and makes it a lot simpler and more fun, hopefully.
No, the other radio was fine, but how would I describe it? At least for me, it's like walking around with blinders on, and you know what's straight ahead, but you don't know anything to the sides. It does add a whole new dimensionality to it.
Exactly. Like a blind man finally being able to see. And I like the digital noise reduction is fantastic.
Yep, that does make an awfully a bit of difference. And I'm just, you know, I'm slowly getting back to, even when I had the other radio, I never understood the controls. So I'm watching YouTube videos about when to use, things like turning off preamp and when to go to attenuation and then when to do RF gain. It seems like it's a little bit of cookbook, but I'm getting a better understanding.
You know, I find that multiple menus be very intuitive, and I've never had a problem with them. But I know some people struggle with them; it drives them crazy. They're just used to seeing all the dials and buttons in front of them. But how many do you really use?
Well, what helps is that the radio is fairly intuitive. You know, I have the radio I'm using in the car is a dual band Yaesu. What model is it? FT8800, I think. Not intuitive at all, so anytime you want to program it, or if you don't use it for 2 weeks, then you have to go back to the manual. Not so with the newer HF radios, and maybe even the newer dual band radios, but I haven't played with any of those.
I feel it's right. Anyway, I'm at my destination, so I've got to go. Enjoy your errands, and hopefully you get on the radio. Have fun.
Have a good morning, Charlie. Maybe we'll catch you later. Alpha 2 Golf, Charlie.
K2KOU.
Take K2, I think KOU. Alpha 2 Golf, Charlie. Good morning. The name here is Ted, Tango Echo Delta.
Good morning. It's K2KOQ. I'm over here in Floral Park. You're my first contact in a very long time. I got the old HT out, charged it up, and heard you guys talking right away there. Name is Rich. I'm out here in Floral Park, over.
Well, you sound very good. Rich. You sound like me because I've actually been off the air for probably like 30 years. And for whatever inexplicable reason, I got the spark. So I've been back on the past couple of weeks, maybe a month or two. So what made you decide to get back into it?
Well, I had the HT charging up here on the desk for a long time. I figured, hey, I'll pick it up and see who's around. And there you go. Didn't take long. Somebody was right there. I'm out here in Floral, and nothing much happening today. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll do a little yard work today.
Picked a good day for it. The weather, at least in Long Beach here, is beautiful. I can't think of the name of the restaurant that we've eaten a couple of times in Floral Park. Was it a steakhouse, some sort of specialties with meat? Can't think of the name of it. I'll have time for one more. I'm almost at my destination.
We got a lot of good restaurants here in town. I don't know which one you go to. Okay, have a good day. Thanks for my first contact in about 4 years. I haven't been too active. See you later. K2KOQ.
K2KOQ. AA2GC, as they said to me recently, welcome back.
Thank you.
NVT Mobile, November Victor, 2 Tango Mobile, New York, listening, NV2T.
InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
WM listening. WI2M listening.
WI2N, W2KFV. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Good to hear you. How's it going today in this beautiful, beautiful day? This is picture perfect. How's it going?
What a gorgeous day. Yeah, it's doing pretty good. Yeah, we're doing. I got run into the credit union. I got to get some stuff done for ARPO. But otherwise, we're doing well. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Keeping busy. And you're a man of many hats. I'm always impressed with your jumping from here, there, and everywhere.
Well, I try to help everybody where I can. How you doing?
Yeah, hanging in there, having fun. This is the time of year I love the most. I love summertime. Even a little bit hotter, I'll take it. I wait all year for it. You know, you got field day, you got all kinds of outdoor events, so it's a good time of year.
No, absolutely. No question about it. Yeah, everybody's getting ready for field. You know, it should be interesting. Looking forward to that also. So, anyway, don't want to make it short, but I'm here where I got to be, so I'll catch you in a couple of minutes. W2AV. Joe, be good.
Yeah, Jim, nice to catch you on the air. Enjoy the day. Yeah, I'll be here for a little bit. If not, I'll catch you next time. W2KFV, WI2M.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Bravo 2, Mike, Sierra Bravo, mobile listening.
K2KNB, good afternoon, Maury.
K2KNB, WB2MSB. Hello, Richie. I'm out here just heading back to the house. It's a beautiful day out. Your radio sounds a little different. Do you use some kind of technology that's new?
No, same radio. I got a little hum from my speakers, and they're putting gutters on now, so you can hear the compressor going. But other than that, everything else should be normal.
Yeah, I recognize the compressor sound. Very good. New gutters. Okay, wonderful. Are you going to have some kind of so you don't have to keep going up there to get the leaves out?
Yeah, he's actually got leaf guard, the same thing. I guess leaf guard sells it besides installing. So he's putting some of that on, and then he's got something that's very similar to the leaf guard. I wanted to do that anyway, but then we had so much the way the gutters were, they were just leaking over the side. Not in all places, but someplace. So we opted to put all the new gutters up there, but he did find about 15 was badly rotted, so in the end, this was the right thing to do.
Roger, roger, yeah. Well, you know, you're in a house long enough, everything needs maintenance. I'm trying to remember when we did our glass, probably it was about 12, 13 years ago, but, you know, the little patch repair over time, after a while, you just can't keep patching. Sounds good. Well, enjoy the rest of the day. I'm just coming over the 25A hill, so I'm going to lose a repeater in about 2 seconds. Coming into Stony Brook, I don't know if you're familiar with the area. We have this Hercules monument thing, and when there's a new moon, it tends to be drowned underwater, and I can see the tides coming in now. So I'll catch you later, Richie, and enjoy and stay safe. K2KND, Dev 73 from WB2MSB.
Hi, Maury. Enjoy your day, too. Good talking to you. And it is a beautiful day out there. K2KND.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
WB2EAV.
Captain A, TKNB.
Haven't spoken to you in ages. How have you been?
I've been good. And what yourself?
Oh, I've been fine. I've been fine.
All right. Was there a committee meeting last night that I didn't make?
What about a meeting tonight?
So I wasn't sure if there was a troop committee meeting last night.
It was last week.
Yeah, I wasn't even close. All right. Those things happen. Anyway, what else?
It appears I got a real job. I'll know when it's supposed to start on the 24th.
Oh, excellent. Look.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, it's strange. It's like a fairy tale, a miracle. 9 years ago, when Northrop Grumman folded up their tents and left, I had been working hand in glove with BAE in Greenland, and the people I was working with tried to get me in there. But apparently their upper management had some brilliant hair-brained scheme that locked that out. Even though it was blatantly obvious there's a perfect job for me, I was a perfect person for them. But I think they had delusion about holding down salaries by not having any experienced people or some sort of similar nonsense. In any event, for 9 years now, every once in a while I see them put up an ad for a job that fits me perfectly. I apply, I never hear anything. But this time, something went wrong. And it may be the fact that it involves an outfit called the Job Shop. So I will not be paid by BAE. It's almost like I will be the, you know, day gun sent to BAE. So it's kind of weird. But looks like I'm getting back to what I should have been doing 9 years ago.
Yeah, I got the gist. I didn't understand everything. But you're being hired by an outside firm to work for the company that it's the same job that you would have had they hired you directly. Is the gist of it?
Yes, there is an outside firm involved. And when I say outside, I mean really far outside. They're based in Iowa, although I really don't think I'll be visiting them physically.
Yeah, well, the main thing is, of course, the company you work for costs them less money, because now they don't have to deal with benefits, things like that.
Well, my only comment is, many years ago, I knew people who worked under some circumstances like, well, why is this all drumming? Some people would retire, and then a few weeks later, they're back, and they say, the company set it up with a job shop, just like we're talking about here, to bring them back part-time post-retirement. So this isn't exactly a brand-new, sparkly new idea. This has been around for decades. So I don't know why if this is the answer, why they couldn't have figured it out years ago, but I don't know.
Well, yours is not to do or die, yours is just to accept the paycheck at the end of the week.
There's more to it, Matt. This is the kind of thing I really, really, really enjoy. I'm really looking forward to this. Now, keep in mind, with the job shop, it's starting out as a four-month deal with the possibility of extending it, and I have every intention of getting extended.
Well, you know, good for you. I know you wanted to have that full-time job, and as you said, if it's something that you're really happy doing, that's, can't ask for much more than that.
And one other thing, at our last field day Zoom meeting I was at, I was trying to say, you know, I have a whole pile of various HF transfers, tenant tuners, SW armies, even the pole antennas. I'm just wondering if some field day Saturday morning I should just throw everything in the truck and play it by ear.
You mean for equipment that you're going to be testing or have as backup, or, you know, what do you want to do with it?
I'm saying if the field day team is short something, there is a possibility I will have it.
Yeah, look, the backup is never a bad thing. So, you know, we have nine or ten transceivers for the six or seven positions that we're going to be using. So that's fine. But there's always something, you know, that a tuner, for example, didn't work. Power supply, I noticed, because I think there was a complaint about one power supply last year, but it was really the power pole that was just probably installed backwards, so it wasn't making good contact. So I have to get that corrected. But yeah, you know, anything, yeah, just throw it in the car, and if we have a chance, put it on the air and give it some work out also.
Yeah, exactly my plan.
Yeah, in fact, if you want, because I know last year worked with the GOTA station, you know, maybe that's a good thing also. Set it up with GOTA, you know, run one for a little bit and switch to another and give you equipment all work out and make sure everything's working well.
Yes, understand fully.
All right. I'm going to go. I got some guys doing gutta work. I want to see what they're up to. We'll catch you later. WB2EAV, Kitchy Candy.
All right. You have a very good day. WB2EAV, still listening.
W2VL repeater.
WB2AV.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
November 2, Victor Hotel, Blue Mobile listening. N2VH, Z Mobile.
W2VL repeater.
Hi, Steve. WB2ZSC, WB2IKT.
I got a question. I just thought of, do we need a switch in the cabinet? And how many connections do they have coming up?
All right. I heard you say something in the cabinet. I was glanced out there by some noise. And, any connections. So we have an Ethernet going out that I know of, and we have a coax going out to the antenna, and we have a power cord. It should go to a power strip inside there, or a equivalent of a power strip. Now, given those items, I'm not sure what else would be going out. I don't know. Your guess is probably as good as mine at this point. Maybe even better.
I meant, what do we need in the way of network connections? I assume there is one connection coming in, and I don't know what we need, you know, if we had a switch, or do we need a switch? Are they going to supply us with a connection, or is there only one connection in the room that's got to be shared?
Okay, well, let's clarify that. My impression is that there is a fiber optic link in the room that, not sure of its origin, it may be the radio station or it may be their IT department. In any event, it certainly is a shared resource, but I believe it's coming in at gigabit data rate, which is plenty of bandwidth for lots of stuff to share, including us. We don't need that much bandwidth. So, as far as I know, there is a X-based T, most likely being 100 or a gigabit, that we will have to pick up. And if we want to put a small switch inside the cabinet because we want it distributed, that we can do without a problem. But at the moment, the only thing I know of that needs that is the PC and the wired X controller adapter that we have in there. As long as we have the, So I guess your question is, do we need a switch? And probably. I would think we can route that to a couple places. And if we go to All-Star someplace in the future, we'll probably need such a connection to that also.
Okay. I don't know if you can use All-Star on wires. Not that you can't. Well, you may not be able to physically do it because of the connections, but I'm not too familiar with it. The wires, I think, software goes on the computer. So I'm presuming that the network connection would go to the computer.
Yeah. Well, and he did mention that he has a, Cat 5 or Cat 6 style connection for that purpose.
Okay. Well, see what happens. Grab a chunk of Cat 5. Well, we don't have to do that tomorrow, Wednesday. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it, depending on what plans are in play at home.
Right. Okay. Lou can't make it either. He mentioned the doctor's appointment.
Yes, I know Steve's good, and I told him I'm not exactly sure where I am at this point. Okay, just trying to make a list of stuff that I got to jam in the car. So we sneak out of here. I just went and I picked up a slice of pizza for lunch. And I went inside the...
Okay, well, sounds good. Enjoy your lunch. Now we'll catch you later. Hopefully we'll see you, and if not, well, you'll miss out on a good time. WB2ZSE, WB2IK.
WB2ZSE.
November 2 Victor Hotel Zulu Mobile. N2BHZ Mobile listening.
KD News AN Monitor.
Hey, how's it going? Say your call sign again. I didn't hear the whole thing. This is November 2 Victor Hotel Zulu. N2BHZ. My name is Ken. Come again with your call sign and name, sir. Okay, I didn't hear anything. This is November 2. Victor Hotel Zulu listening.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2UFO North Carolina.
North Carolina, KD2KNH, Long Island.
Hey, good afternoon. I didn't catch your call sign. It's W2UFO on the North Carolina. Open.
Okay, this is Kilo Delta 2, Kilo November Hotel. His name is Charlie. Mobile on the 495.
Okay, Charlie, very good. Now, the call here is W2UFO. My name is Mark, North Carolina, a small little town called Stokesdale. And, I came into the shack. I was doing some work outside, and I flipped on the low bands, and I had to make sure my antennas didn't fall down. There's not one signal on any frequency on the amateur radio bands going on here. It was bizarre. Put a couple calls out. Obviously, the antenna's good. And nothing. It's some major solar activity, but up in the northeast. But down here, completely nothing but solar.
You know, it's been so bad, I haven't even attempted to play around on HF. You know, good times come and bad times come out, so I'm sure things will get back to normal soon.
Last time I saw something like this, well, there's been a lot of solar activity, but I've been on the radio, I run on pretty much every day and every evening. There hasn't been anything unusual the last few days, but the last time I experienced something like this was just prior, literally minutes before Desert Storm, and then I found out after that the military had done some, when they went into, I guess, Baghdad and Iraq, and they did that, they did all that stuff, they actually jammed up the frequencies, and for a good 2 hours that night, everything on the spectrum disappeared, and all of a sudden, like popped back up again. It's really weird. But I've been licensed and gone here for like almost 50 years now, and it's the first time one of the few times I've seen complete blackout on every band.
Well, you have far more experience than me, and I'm sure with the technology today, they have the ability to have a total blackout. I mean, how many satellites do we have up now? And we're all with special features and functions for some ground-based stations. So I guess a network could be set up to do that.
Yeah, I guess they could. I mean, they could send out some radio or whatever. It's kind of interesting. I know it's been strange over the last just couple of weeks. I don't know if you were licensed at the time, but maybe not. There was something on low bands called the Russian Woodpecker, and it was a radar system that you would hear constantly, popping up, coming in, going out, whatever it was. And then it kind of faded away and disappeared. It seemed to disappear when Chernobyl went down in the last thing, and it was rumored that the transmission site was somewhere in that area. But about three or four nights ago, maybe a week ago, a similar thing is going to pop up again, and it's really weird. And I wonder if it's somebody with some kind of technology with some of the messy stuff that's going on in other parts of the world again that's happening. So who knows? Like you said, technology today is just unlimited ability to do what they want to do, and us, we would never even know it. All over.
K2KH, and there's always the sci-fi route. Remember, with Independence Day approaching, like the movie, it's funny how only CW get around these aliens. But them plots are kind of thin.
So, curious, when you're on the LIE, you're a little spotty. You're breaking up. And, all right, well, who knows. Well, we'll see what happens. The band comes back. I'm looking at the solar flux numbers and sunspot numbers. They don't look to be absolutely too astronomical, at least in their own days here. But, I got back onto the low bands about the middle of March. I've been off for about 12 or 13 years. Got myself set up down here. And, in fact, today I did some trimming. I'm going to be, for tomorrow, the next day, I want to put up a 160-meter delta loop antenna. I got plenty of property here, and I had to trim the trees out to be able to get where I wanted it. So I currently use an N-fed antenna, which works really well, but I'm thinking once I put the delta loop up, it's hopefully better over.
KD2KNH. Well, I'm glad you have the property for it. Let us know how it works out. I started out with an N-fed 60-foot Chameleon MCOM-2 back in 2016, and spent the last 5 years or so I've been using a Gap Eagle antenna, and of course, can get me on 40 or 80 or 160, but it's been my primary, and I should get a wire up myself. I could probably put up 100 feet of wire.
This is what I put up, and this is really wild, and very much lies me. I ordered it from DX Engineering, the 10 through 80 meter end fed antenna. It's the only one they really sell, you know, the high power version, which is like legal limit. And I think it was $159, something like that. And, you know, just kind of fiddling with those things, I thought to myself, oh, it'll be okay. But I hung it up. One end of it is about 20 feet off the ground, and the far end is about 65, 70 feet up. So it slopes down. And I have to tell you, the first of all, covers 10 through 80. The SWR is great, including the Walkman. The only place it's a little bit shaky is in some parts of 10, because 10 is such a spectrum, in some parts of 80. When it's shaky, you know, you got to touch with the tuner or close to it. But 15 meters, 20 meters, 40 meters, 70, you know, all the other things, the walk bands. The thing is, SWR is great. And the performance of the antenna is absolutely phenomenal. I'm amazed. I mean, I get out 40 meters at night, and routinely been talking with guys in New Zealand and Australia and Israel, the Middle East. I mean, I just, and getting 5.9 plus cells. So I don't know, you know, what about it, but the reviews have been very good on it, and I'm just tickled pink with it, and it's beyond my expectations. I never.
All right, I'm glad it worked out. And I got 95% of what you were saying. But, going under an overpass. But, you know, as the sunspot cycle gets higher and we're towards the peak, everything's going to work great. So, we'll see what happens in the next 5 years.
I'm curious, how much power are you running? And are you running a handy talkie or a mobile rig? And what type of engine are you running over?
Mobile, Gazoo FM100DR, 50 watts through a glass mounted antenna. So, through our UHF repeater system.
The UHF, are you in someplace else, or I'm not familiar with the radio? And what's your location, over?
Okay, currently approaching Sheldon, Nichols Road, northbound, if you're familiar with Long Island. About 2 miles out from New York, and northbound, heading towards the North Shore.
Yeah, okay, so you've quite a bit of water in the signal. And I thought the repeated, you know, I've been out of there a long time, but, and I, of course, I know where Sheldon is in the whole area. I somehow thought there was an Eastern Link or something that would pick you up, but with 50 watts, I would think that signal should be rock solid. But again, I don't know if you're hitting the receiver in Glen Oaks or if there's one out east, over.
Well, I was coming to you from the UHF repeater in Middle Island. I just switched over to the Sheldon repeater.
Okay, yeah, you switched over to the Sheldon repeater, but then you're on key, so I don't know how long you made that transmission, but, yeah, okay. Yeah, here there's not, down in this area, like, there's not a ton of 2-meter activity. There's a lot of link systems down here, and I find it very confusing because I just never know who I'm talking to. Key up into the local repeater, which is a few miles from me, this afternoon just to say hello, and I got 8 guys coming in from Oklahoma, Texas, and Iowa. So it just completely blows me. To me, 2 meters always been, you know, like local communications, but now everybody's tying in with all the different sub-channels and links and remotes and all that, so still haven't caught up with that. And I don't use any digital modes. I'm really kind of old-fashioned. I'm just happy getting on the low bands and, and just talking. And if I can't hear you, if you can't hear me, then we don't talk, you know, simple as that. But anyway, so are you going eastbound? I guess you're probably going eastbound there soon. There's W2 UFO in North Carolina.
KD2KH mobile. And yeah, I'm on the 2-meter Sheldon repeater now, and I can hear you much better. And something's going on with the other repeater. But I do have to run. I'm working right now and approaching my next stop. So, Mark, it was a pleasure. Maybe somebody else can pick you up. But don't be a stranger. There's usually somebody on this repeater system. KD2KNH clear, 73. I'll listen out.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got to tell you, night and day, you're single right now. So maybe there was some issues with the repeater. Or, you know, in between, who knows. Okay, well, have a pleasant day. Maybe we'll catch you another time. Don't work too hard. KD2KNH, W2 UFO.
Yucco, do you copy WB2 radio, Fox Victor?
Yeah, WB2RFD, W2 UFO, name here is Mark, over.
Okay, Mark, very good. My name is John, better known as the nickname. And I'm with Jersey, but I heard you talking about an NFED, and I was just wondering which one you had. I've looked at the engineering, and they carry so many different brands. Is it their own brand, or is it some other name brand? Go ahead.
You know, I'd have to look, because I don't recall. Let me see if I get the cap. Yeah, it works. You know, I was very surprised. I've always been a skeptic when it comes to those types of antennas. And I realize that there's, you know, a ton of variables that make a difference. So the soil content here is clay. And if you ever watched my cousin Vinny and they talk about the clay and get set of tires and that's exactly what we have down here. When it's dry and it doesn't rain, you can use the jackhammer to get through the ground. I mean, that's how it is. Analog here, trying to find the antennas. But if I remember correctly, it's made by Vibroplex, which is weird because Vibroplex makes, you know, they make keys, and they come in with this, they make this antenna, and it's the only one that handles 1500 watts. That's an N-fed, you know, coax fed, and I'm feeding with about 125 feet of line because that's where the antenna connects out, and the antenna is just, I'm shocked at how well it works. It was beyond my expectations. And I just ordered. Let me drop a second. I don't know what the timing is here. I just ordered from Ultimax, which I got last week, a Delta Loop antenna, which is rated at 5 kW, 260 feet to where, I don't know exactly, but something like that. And supposedly will operate 10 to 80 meters in flat, but. Yeah, Delta Loop, of course, gives you a little bit more gain, too, over a standard dipole, for example, the way it's laid out. So I haven't tried that one yet, but people I've spoken to have it, just love it. But again, getting back to the antenna I have to tell you, I went up north. I mean, I had a tower, I had five-element beam, I had all kinds of wires, and I had very high expectations, and rather low expectations of what I was going to see. But I was very shocked at how well this thing is performing.
Okay, very good. Well, I do most of my operating in Florida. I have a place here in New Jersey, and I go back and forth a little bit, but mainly operate in Florida. And I'm deep restricted, and I have one made by an outfit called Radio Wave, and it's ho-hum. With a tuner, you can get on all the different bands. But I'll have to look up the Vibroplex. If I remember correctly, some of the handsets that I've seen them at, they're carrying the PAR handset under their name. But it's interesting to know, you know, the results you're getting with it. I'd be curious to know also how, if you're running 125 foot of feed line, what's running there? Is it RG8 or something smaller? That's a lot of lead wire, which I also have almost 100 foot. So back to you, guys.
Maybe you want an RG8X, which is not, you know, it's rated for the legal limit, but it's, you know, I'm sure the loss is greater, but that's what I had. And I just like to try that. In fact, I just ordered, and it should be coming today, RG213. But, you know, the price of cable, the last time I bought cable, I bought 1,000 feet of it, but I was up north. And, you know, when I looked at the prices now, it was just, like, astronomical. You know, here it is. Yeah, this, okay, so you're right with the antenna. The antenna is a PAR NFED. Okay, so that's probably, I think that's the company. That's the antenna. And the one I'm running is, you know, pointing the actual model, but if you look at it, they got a chart there, you can see it. And that's the antenna, it looks like. Like I said, it's performing quite well. It's funny, I live in an HOA also, but I also have almost 4 acres, or three acres plus of property. So, because when I bought the house, I bought property next to me, behind me, and around me. So I own all the property around me, so I'm not limited. And we have a restriction, which is really funny, that says no radio towers for commercial application to make, and it specifically states, to make money or run a business. So, you know, not a problem, because amateur radio is not making money on running a business. So if I wanted to put up a tower, I could do that. But the problem I run into is I have trees that are 130, 150 feet tall, pine trees, and I really have to get above it. And at my point in time, I just don't want to invest that kind of money into that kind of structure.
Yeah, okay. This is WP2R. Yeah, I can understand that. You know, when you get real alarmed, that also means, you know, maintenance, kind of checking things off. Some of these NFED ideas and off-center NFED seem to be so simple. The NFED appeals to me because, essentially, one or two tie-off points and that's it. So, but I'm not getting the results that you're getting. But I may not be as high, and I'm only running a barefoot 100-watt radio, so I don't have any more. I'm here in New Zealand or whatever on 40 meters, but man, I'm not working just like that on 40 right now, guys.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it is you know, things you can't control. You know, there's the band conditions, the ground connectivity, stuff like that. I'm about 900 and some odd feet above sea level. So it's, you know, and I have a number of, I put, I got ground rods. The antenna, actually, I have three ground rods that are pounded into the ground that are, and that was, and that's connected to the end of the antenna grounded. So, and I've got ground all over the place because we get pretty wacky thunderstorms. So I want to make sure everything is protected here. What I can tell you, it took me hours, and in some cases almost days, to finish it up, to drive those 8-foot ground rods into the ground. I had to use a steel device to help me, and I found out after that one of my neighbors works for Duke, and what they do is they got this air compressor device that drive rods, and they can put a ground rod in the soil in a matter of, like, you know, 2 minutes. And I said to him, Joe, I wish I would have known that, because I was pounding away like crazy. So it was a problem. First, I thought I hit concrete, but again, it's rock solid way here. So the not like Long Island, which is a little sandy. And once you get, you know, you get down below 6 inches, everything goes pretty easy. It's W2 UFO.
Okay, W2 UFO. Is it W2 United Fox Oscar UFO? I don't know if I have that. This is WB2R. I just assumed that you were on the island. Where are you? Upstate then, or someplace else? I'm in Jersey, about 50 miles west of the George Washington Bridge. It's less than that. And, but 95% of my operating and 90% of my time is in Central Florida. But I'd be curious to know where you're at, guys.
I'm probably about 600 miles south of you. About 580 miles south of the Empire State Building. I'm in North Carolina. As I was joking around, I'm in a small and insignificant town called Stokesdale. We're proud to have 1.5 traffic lights. It's a very rural area, although it's funny, it's been here about 7 years. This August will be 7 years. And only back in March, I finally got the station back up on air. I had all the equipment set up, but I didn't get it going. And then a neighbor of mine got his ham license and was telling me how much fun he's having with this new hobby. And I said to myself, you know, Mark, you're an idiot. You got all the radio equipment. Just put an antenna off. Like, I always, you know, took the antenna that haven't been off, you know, been on every day. So, yeah, well, I'm on 40 meters every evening. I talk with a bunch of guys. Once you get down to Florida, you should look for us. A lot of times, 7.5, a little bit less. There's a fellow off in England, G0EVY. He kind of runs it. Got an antenna that I believe is a element on 40, one with a combination of other elements on other bands, and I believe the boom is 125 feet long, and he kind of weighs 1,600 pounds, and he turns a crane over.
Well, that's quite a setup. I'll have to tune around you then. I mean, get on the venal problems, and I can get down in that. But I'm not hearing long haul stuff. I mean, I'm getting stuff sometimes when I don't expect it on 10. Like I was getting CK'd the other evening. I was in Florida, and 15-20, but 40. I'm not getting that. I mean, I can get out. I'm getting a lot of in the southeast region of the United States, maybe into the islands and all that. But I'll have to get on there and see if I can hear you there. So, all right, thanks for the rundown on everything, and I'll let you go. I have some things I have to do outside. I don't know if it's going to rain, but boy, it's certainly gotten cloudy. I hope it's not going to rain. But at any rate, nice to meet you, Mark, and we'll listen for you at 40. So, is the last part of your call UFO? You might clarify that. This is W2RFV.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You asked me that and didn't mention it. Yeah, the call is Whiskey to United, Florida, Ontario. Like unidentified flying object, W2UFO. And, yeah, there's a lot of guys on that group that we talked to. There's a number of guys in Florida, and we get with them all the time. So, yeah, you should look for us. And usually, I mean, I get on around 9:15 in the evening, but I think they start a little bit earlier. And it's a nice group of guys. It's very informal. You know, Dave does, that's the fellow in England. What he does, he kind of runs it through everybody. He runs it kajit in the sense that, you know, he makes sure everybody gets a chance to talk. And we joke around a little bit here and there, you know, and whatever. It's fun. It's not political, not obnoxious, you know. It's just a fun thing. And his signal, his antenna, by the way, is phased. So when he's talking, when he's running this group together, he'll be talking to the States, and then he'll say, oh, hold on, let me check Europe. And then all of a sudden, the signal goes from, like, Fiova to, like, an S3. And in the beginning, I said, how could you possibly turn the antenna that fast? And he's actually got it phased. The crane he uses for raising the antenna, which I think is around 160 feet. So what he does is he the crane, he lifts it up, and instead of use a rotator, he phases it, uses a phasing system. And it's quite an adventure, the project that he has set up there. He's he's a nice guy. We have a lot of fun. If you want to see the antenna, the guy that designed it, and he always gives the guy credit, is AA4MM, Alpha Alpha 4 Mike Mike. And there's pictures of that antenna and the installation there. It's absolutely staggering, mind-blowing. And I think he's feeding it with about 1,500, 2,000 feet of coax. So, you know, talk about money. I don't know what the guy does. That's not my business, really. But, you know, he's got something I never saw anything like it. And it's okay, I've got to run. Last time it wasn't, I told how to build the clock, the way I always go. Have a great day. We'll look for you some other time. WB2RFB from W2 United, Florida, Ontario.
Okay, W2 United, Ontario, WB2RFB. Well, thanks for all the information, and I'll listen out on 40. Who knows, maybe I'll catch you here, too. So, 7-3s, and nice to meet you. This is WB2RFB, going to sign and go QRT. Thank you.
Okay, take care, John. And we'll see you another time. Hopefully, we'll catch you in a little bit. W2 UFO.
November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu Mobile.
November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu Mobile listening. November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu Mobile listening.